إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that cancer is not a disease. Cancer is not caused by viruses or microbes. It's not caused by any foreign body entering our body. It's not the result of infection. Cancer is simply the body acting in a way which is against itself. Cancer is when some cells of the body decide to act on their own, decide to grow without concern for the other cells of the body. And that's why I say growth for the sake of growth. Growth for the sake of growth is the philosophy of the cancer cell. The reason I'm saying this is because there is another very similar cancer that today permeates our entire society, and the name of that cancer is individualism. Individualism. But there is one big difference between the cancer of the body, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that, and this cancer of society, the body of the society, which is called individualism. There is a big difference. And the difference is that the cancer of the body is not communicable. You won't get cancer if you go and sit next to somebody who has cancer. Cancer of the body is not communicable. But the cancer of society called individualism is highly communicable. It is extremely infectious. When Islam came into this world, and when I say that, when I say Islam came into this world, Islam came into this world at the beginning of the world itself. Adam alayhi salam is the one who brought Islam. But when I am saying that, I am saying it in the context of the seerah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam announced Islam, the state of the people of Makkah, especially Makkah itself as a society, was that of a society of where individualism was the religion. And that's the reason why it's interesting also to take the word itself, the word individualism. Any ism is a religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, communism is a religion. So it's a religion in the sense of it is something which has a belief system. People who follow it have a set of beliefs and they lead their lives according to that format. So capitalism, all of these isms are a religion. I mean, not every religion is an ism. For example, Christianity and Islam, there is no ism in there. But at the same time, all of these isms, as a general rule, all isms are religions. So is individualism. It's a religion, it has a set of beliefs. The beliefs of individualism, that the basic foundational belief of individualism that there is, that there are three important people in life. There are three people in life who are extremely important. Who are those people? I, me and myself. Yeah, that is that is the belief, that is the fundamental belief. I, me and myself. The other fundamental belief which emanates from this one is that whatever is beneficial for me, which means whatever I see as immediately beneficial for me, supersedes everything else. Right? And then of course from this, all kinds of behaviors and all kinds of statements, for example, top dog, rat race, the devil take the last. All of these, English language is full of all this. So, The end of the bottom line of this is that this individualism was what was happening in Makkah. Now this was particularly at that time, this was particularly it was not in sync with Arab culture, and that's why even the Makkans felt that, so they used to send their children off to the desert to be raised by the nomadic people. But it was not, because in the Arab culture, the value of muruwah, what they call muruwah, in Urdu we have a word muravat. Hum kya bolte hai, kisi ko aajkal kisi ko muravat hi nahi bolte. To muravat ke baare kya hai, dusre ka khayal karna. To muravat ke baare dusre ka khayal karna. To muruwah is to be concerned for the other. And in Arab society, this was the overarching value, that you were concerned or you showed concern for other people. That concern was sometimes, or most of the time, confined to tribal alliances and so on and so forth. But there was concern for the other. What happened in Makkah society was, thanks to trade being the business being the driving force, the single-minded pursuit of wealth became the most important thing. So how to make money? It doesn't matter how the money comes, from where it comes. Makkan society was not a society of poor people. Makkan society was a society of high finance. The people, the big Makkan traders and the businessmen, they did business. They were interested, and they made deals all the way up in Syria, all the way to the Roman and the Persian borders, down south in Yemen. There were people who dealt in literally in today's terms, it would amount to trillions of dollars. In those days also, it was huge. I mean, if you look at, for example, Abdurrahman bin Auf radhiyallahu anhu, when he passed away, his wealth, which was distributed amongst his heirs, amounted to over $1 trillion. So that was the kind of wealth. We are not talking about some small money here and there. They were very wealthy people, and they were people who were focused completely. It was total what today we would call capitalism, the essence of capitalism. That's what they did, and that's how they established banks. That's how they had the whole interest-based banking system. They had all of that. So in that context, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't come into a bunch of sheep herders or camel herders. He came into high finance society. If you transported, if you took a picture of that Makkan society and you fitted it into this world today, it would fit exactly on Wall Street. I mean, that was the kind of atmosphere of business and finance we're talking about. And that is how the whole issue of muruwat, of mutual responsibility, of mutual concern and care, everything went out of the window, and the only thing which mattered was personal wealth. How much money do I have? Money bought power. Money was something which was good to have because it gave you power. Also, money in Makkan society was something which allowed a person to climb the social ladder. So it was not a question of being born into a noble family and so on. Makkans, even though we talk about the Quraysh as the nobility of Makkah, that's only because they took care of the Kaaba. But other than that, there was no formal nobility of Makkah. There was no king of Makkah. There were no lords and ladies of Makkah. There were no nobility of Makkah in the feudal sense. Makkah was a very non-feudal kind of a society. But there, the nobility was money. So if you had money, you could go up the ladder as well. Now in this context, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. And what was the message that he was sent with? The message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with was the opposite of individualism. Individualism is a cancer. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to cure this cancer. And what was the cure of this cancer? The cure of this cancer was mutual responsibility. Was to say that no, you cannot live your life exactly how you want. You can live your life exactly how you want as long as it is not harming anybody else. But you also have a responsibility for people around you. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will question you about your neighbors to the extent of 70 houses on either side of you. 70 houses on either side of you. Just if you simply sit and count up, where will it reach? 70 houses, you know, go all the way to row number 12 or something. Allah knows. So the point is that this was the responsibility. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are responsible for what happens to your neighbor. The rights of neighbors were emphasized to such an extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I thought that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to make the neighbor an heir in our wealth. Literally that when you die, the neighbor will inherit. Maybe Allah will do this. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent the Muslims themselves were given a special responsibility, and that responsibility was what? Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people, you have been selected for the people. So your purpose of your existence is not yourself, it is for the people. Now this whole issue of, and that is the reason why, if you look at it, you say, why did the Makkan people, especially the Quraysh, because they were at the top of the pack, why did they oppose the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such an extent where eventually they drove him out of Makkah itself? Why did they do that? They did that because he was addressing and his message attacked the foundation of their society. This is what cancer does when you start curing cancer. That is why is it that cancer treatment sometimes is so painful and so, you know, hard, because it is a very difficult thing to cure. That's why you have to do things like chemotherapy and whatnot. Of course, that's also a reflection on whatever medical science we have. But the point is that it is not easy to cure. And so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was attacking the foundation of their belief, which is to say that I, me and myself doesn't work. It is we together which have to live together. And why is that? Because that is what actually strengthens society. If you look at from this, if you look at this even from a business angle or a commercial angle, a healthy society or a society where the maximum possibility of doing business and making money is a society which has a strong middle class, which has a high level of disposable discretionary income. Right? Disposable income for discretionary spending. That is a strong society where there are a lot of people who have the money to buy things. How will that happen? It cannot happen if a small group of people corner all the wealth. That wealth has to be spread in society. People have to be well off. People have to be taken out of poverty, because if there are people who are poor, then those people are actually a drain on society. They are consuming and they are not giving back anything because they have nothing. Whereas if you have people who are consuming and producing, then you have a much stronger society. So the issue of working against individualism is not purely, you know, issue of kindness and so on and so forth. It also makes eminent business sense. It makes real business sense, not individualism, which destroys society in more ways than one. And this is what Islam came to counter, individualism. So when we say we are talking about Islam, we are not only talking about the theology of Tawheed, we are talking about the bringing about change in society. And that's why I remind myself when you that all change begins from the individual. And therefore we need to reflect now on ourselves and say, what does my life reflect? Does my life reflect individualism, or does my life reflect collectivism, mutual responsibility? Allah said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. How am I benefiting other people? I think this is a question which we have to ask ourselves, because all change begins from the individual, not from outside. So we have to ask ourselves and say, am I a cancer cell or am I a healthy cell? Which one? We have to ask this question. And if I feel that I am a cancer cell, then I need to go into remission. I need to stop growing for the sake of growth. And that's why I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our lives with barakah and khair, and to enable us to correct ourselves and to put ourselves in line in such a way that we are beneficial for everybody else, and thereby we also benefit ourselves. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.